Man, he's concerned about me. Hey, maybe it's news to you, but I mess up. He's still concerned about me. I say things that could probably move the solar system out of its orbit, but yet he still is concerned about me. Never would I say that to my spouse. Remember that. Yeah. Man, he's concerned about me. I just got to gather my thoughts for a minute. Is that okay? Meditate on that. What is man that you are mindful of him? That's what the psalm says. What is man that you are mindful of him? Wow. That is just so amazing to me. So amazing to me. I hope this little message can even come up to that. Wow. Though I am going to preach the complete answer to all of mankind's woes and cares. I really am. Right here is the full answer. Nothing is lacking in this answer. Not only to those that we call lost, and not only to those we call saved or found. It is the complete and full answer of God to all of mankind. There is no other answer. You can bring volume after volume after volume after volume after volume after volume of questions, concerns, frustrations of every kind and every sort, and he has only one answer. I just was blessed this morning to pick up on it. How simple is our God? How uncomplicated, uncluttered. Not like our lives is just full of complications, full of clutter, full of... Boy, you got to remember you're Christian and don't say bologna and salami. It's full of it. But right here is the answer. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for giving us the answer. Thank you that you've heard our prayers, that you've looked upon our concerns, that you've seen our hearts, you've seen everything, and you've given us the answer. We're so thankful for that. Grateful. Lord, help me in Jesus' name to deliver this so that it brings across what they need. Now anoint and bless. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. While you're fetching that reference, I will begin to read at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Amen. Whew, so be it. If we can compile all the Einsteins, if you will, from the beginning to this very date, they would seem to know nothing in his presence. Zero. If we can compare all the mighty men of valor, all the heroes of time, past and present, and even look to the future, they would be weak and wanting in his presence. Oh, hallelujah. And Paul is writing here saying how God wants to convey to us His wisdom and His power. And he is saying so quickly, it is out of the realm of your thinking and out of the realm of your grasp, even though your hand may be large and mighty. There's two people mentioned here in this passage. There are those who are seeking a sign, are seeking a power, or display. And there are those who are seeking wisdom, our understanding, our insight into what is going on all around us all the time. One says, why doesn't God do something? You ever ask that in your place of employment with people that don't have the faith you have? Not that I would elevate you in your faith. Remember, your wisdom is ego, zero. Let go of your ego, your zero. They'll say, well, if God's all this and all that, why doesn't He do something? Where's the show of His power? Where's a sign and miraculous? Where's that? And then the others, on the other hand, say, why does God let this happen? If this is an all-wise and all-knowing God, why does He let this happen? I can't understand it. I can't comprehend why these things go on. What they don't understand is God has done something, and there is a reason why it all happens. In verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified. Right there is the answer I was talking about in the beginning. Right there is the sum total of the answer to man. Preach Christ crucified. That will answer every longing, every hurt, every sorrow, every misunderstanding, every ignorance. It will answer that, Christ crucified. The preaching of the cross answers all things. But it is perceived as foolishness and weakness. Now, you think, that's right. Preach on to the unsaved, brother. No, let me look at you, little special saved Christian going to heaven. Why you struggle and I struggle as Christians going to heaven is because we perceive the wisdom and the power of God as foolishness and weakness. You ever read Galatians where he said there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek? Between the woman and the man, the child and the adult, there's no difference. All must come to the preaching of the cross if they want to enjoy wisdom and power. The Christian church calls that salvation. It is more than having your ticket punched at the train station by the conductor to go to heaven. I'm on a train to heaven, you know, choo-choo. It's more than that. That's our destination. We'll get off that train, but we get on a train when we have our ticket punched by salvation, by faith and the preaching of the cross. We get on the train of everlasting life. It's not a length of life. It's a quality of life. Because every human being born from time until they stop being born is born to live forever because we're created in the image of God. Amen. We're spirit beings, and they do not die, cannot be destroyed, cannot be annihilated as some may preach. No, they live on forever. And the choices we make concerning this preaching of the cross will determine how it lives on, how that everlasting life will come through us. Will it be through the means of hell and degradation and lying and depravity? Or will it be through the means of grace and joy and blessing? The choice is ours right now, this moment. Do we perceive it as foolishness or weakness? Oh, praise the living. This right here is the answer. When in fact, the greatest show of strength and wisdom is in the preaching of the cross. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, but I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul came to these Corinthians all those years ago with the same message I'm coming to you today. Yep. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There's the answer. The preaching of the cross. Jesus Christ crucified. Every time, and you Christians, you listen to me. When we hear the word the cross or the preaching of the cross, we think we hear salvation message. That is just the tip of the iceberg. When it is said the preaching of the cross, from the time Jesus rose from the dead and when the apostles began to preach and everyone that followed them up to this very moment, when they preach the cross, they're preaching the full gospel.
Right.
It's all inclusive, like the word salvation. Sozo, or the verb, I believe, is soteria. It's all inclusive. The cross, the preaching of the crucifixion is not, oh yes, he's up there. There, we've seen it. We have a description in the Word. But after that, it becomes a vital, living thing. This preaching of the crucifixion, this preaching of the cross becomes our substance, becomes our strength, becomes our wisdom.
Amen.
It is the answer for all of mankind. There's two things that happened. Men became alienated from God. And there is a powerlessness to change. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's see if we can go there real fast. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 14 through 22. For he himself is our peace, who had been made one and was broken down the middle wall of separation. So we are separated. We were separated from God without hope. The preaching of the cross removes that separation. We were powerless to change. We had nothing in us. When he said in verse 15, the law of the commandments contained an ordinance so as to create in self one new man from the two, thus making peace, that is the power to change. And we go on, it says that you become fellow citizens, no longer strangers. You're part of the household, the family of God, built on Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's all in the preaching of the cross. No matter where you stand in this world, no matter what you believe, it comes down to the preaching of the cross, Christ, Him crucified, alienated from God. How did we get there? How did this world get there? You see, if you don't understand, then the Bible's got your answer. It's in the preaching of the cross. How do we get there? Romans 5:12 says so plainly how we got there. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Don't think up in your smugness that, hey, I don't do that. I don't kick the dog. I've been nice to my wife. I haven't even cheated on my income tax. If I found $5, I'd run back into the store and say, hey, you overpaid me too much or whatever. If I found a big bag of money in a shopping cart, I'd put that in my trunk and get out of there. Oh, no, I mean, I'd find out, go see if someone left something in the cart. No, it's not with that. This separation, this death that came through the one man, Adam, the figurehead of all of creation for men, is an alienation, a separation in your spirit. You're thinking, well, I'm saved, but pay attention. Did you know you can get born again? You can get changed in your spirit, receive the life of the preaching of the cross in your spirit, and still be functioning death in your thoughts. That death came with all the other death. It separates you. Don't ever think you can box up God and say this is what He is. He's this denomination. He's this region of belief. Don't think you can box Him up. You can't. He'll kick out the sides of that thing and go spilling out all over the place. And if you don't catch any, He'll just run right over you. So it came through there. Death came through man. And when that happens, you know, we want God. So we go about trying to do our own righteousness, trying to build up our portfolio of success. So when God turns the pages and reads our report, He goes, whoo! No! Romans 3:23 said, and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, everyone, me, you, your grandma, your daddy, all the way back from Adam to whoever comes in the future, if the Lord should tarry. All of us. There is no form of righteousness or good works that can change that. None. Zero. None. Your religion can't change that. I don't care where you are on the globe. Your religion can't change that. Your ordinances, your goodiness can't change that. Without the cross, without Christ, you're hopeless. But thank God, look at Romans 5:17. Look at this. For by one man's offense, that's that death came in. Physical, mental, spiritual, came in, began to decay. It said in Romans chapter 8 that all of it fell under corruption or a decaying. That's why we die. It's part of the whole life thing. Let me add, get a hold of the cross and you can hold that dying off for a while. Romans 5:17. For by one man's sin or offense, death reigned through the one, much more. I love God, He's always much more. Much more. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. All that receive Jesus Christ can reign in life, or function, or enjoy that quality of life called everlasting life from the Father. There's the cure for alienation. There's the cure for not having the wisdom to understand. It's right here. This is why it's happening. You know, a fella came to me once and said, well, you mean babies that are born deformed, they're innocent? I think God sends us little gifts like that to help us grow and mature. I'm going to tell you right now, God don't send little gifts like that. He will give you strength and power and mental capability to open that package that comes in that way, to deal with it and to make the best of it. And out of that, He can make glory and honor come. Amen. But that stuff comes because there's corruption in the world. Someone says, well, how come, you know, there's a statement I like so much. We cannot experience, I'm going to say this, you know I like to preach healing, but you cannot experience healing 100%, but you can experience it substantially enough to live through. Did you hear me there? We're not in heaven. We're not going to have it all well. You're going to wake up with some aches and pains. But there is a gospel of the cross that says there, He took it for us, and we can receive substantial strength to make it another day. Hallelujah! Thank God for that strength. That's substantial. That's enough, you know. Hallelujah. But I'm still hurting. This is a new day. Get some substantial. You can make it. How do you get past that first thing, alienation? So simple. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, should not be controlled by the death that came, that alienated you, spirit, soul, and body, shall live with everlasting life. John 3:16. Okay, we took care of that part. This heals the whole world. The next thing is that powerless to change. Why isn't God doing it? He already did it, my brothers and sisters. Here's how we overcome the powerlessness to change. Remember the Jew? Now that's just, it's not the Jewish nation. Let's put it this way. The religious man says, show me the power. Because I've been sitting in this dead, cold pew for so long, I don't know if God even exists. But I go through my ordinances and my traditions, and I do all that, and I think I get to go to heaven. The religious man, he says, show me power. The Gentile, or the non-religious man, says, help me understand why. Help me understand why this. He wants wisdom, you see. So we need to get past that powerlessness to change, and here's how it comes. Romans chapter 5. Verse 21. So that as sin reigned in death, so that sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace reigns through righteousness. What we need to change is grace. How does that grace come to us? Man, I need that grace. Grace is God's ability. It's His help. It's His power. It's whatever you need to change. He's a present help in time of need, right? How is He that help? By grace. What did I think my pastor? He quoted it and he picked it up somewhere else, and I'm going to take it from him. God's riches at Christ's expense. We're back to the preaching of the cross, the crucifixion. It all begins there. Whether you're going to heaven or going to hell, you got to start there. If you want to change your direction, you got to start there. Righteousness. And it said here, we read already, that to receive righteousness, whereby grace comes through, you receive the gift from Jesus Christ. Once you receive that, you're called righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And right there in 5:21 of Romans, it said grace comes through righteousness. Through one man's unrighteous act, death reigned. Through one man's righteous act, life, our grace reigned. He said, it is in Ephesians 2:4-10, He said, by grace we are saved. Not of yourself, not of works, lest you should boast. Again, forget the little box of saved. By grace, you can experience the full life-changing power of the cross to change. You don't know what I did. I don't care what you did. Guarantee you, God's seen it. And if He says, by grace, you can change, then you can change. Don't give two hoots what I think, or what the pastor thinks, or what anybody you know or don't know thinks. If God said that the preaching of the cross can give you power to change, then you can change. I don't care how dark, how deep, how far, how ugly, how nasty it went, you still can change. How do I know that? Because I've been down deep, dark, ugly, nasty, and I still changed. Hallelujah. And that's because He made me righteous through the cross. Now some of you technical guys, oh no, not through the cross. You got to have the resurrection, the sitting down. Now remember I told you the preaching of the cross is it all. It's everything. Through the cross I was made righteous in Christ by faith. And grace began to come up in me and I could change. No longer did I take my girlfriend, who is my wife now of 28 years, and put her on the wall when we were dopers and slap her and say, don't cry, I don't want a lightweight. And besides, she told me later on, if I ever did that, I probably won't wake up in the morning. Amen. So how does this grace and this grace come? There's two ways in the Bible. And we're going to be coming down to the end, so keep your shirts on, hats on. The first way grace comes is by humility. James chapter 4. Let's look at that. James chapter 4. Verse 6. But he gives more grace. But he gives more grace. More grace to who? More grace how? More grace. Whom gets this grace? Who gets it? He gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud. That's the place you don't want to be. You know why? It's foolishness to the non-religious man, because he's so pumped up with his own thoughts and his own pride. You're going to have to humble yourself. You know why it's a powerless thing to the religious man? Because he's so full of pride. He thinks his ritual and his ado. I don't care if you're Muslim, if you're Baptist, if you're Bahrain or whatever. Your religion is nothing. And if you're clinging to it, you're full of pride. You need to get a hold of the cross. Jesus Christ. God said that God resists the proud, but gives grace. Say it with me. Grace to the humble. Amen. That's one of the ways this grace, this ability, this power, this thing that changes you. It comes through humility. Humility. And in these two things I got right here, that is probably the largest, the most important, and the toughest and hardest to perform. And it can be the most deceptive and tricky that you'll ever come against, humility. One minute you think you got it, and the world is at your feet. And then the next minute, you're crushed down because you lifted your head. I'm going to tell you that humility is an attitude. It is a function of your heart. It's the way you think. But never forget, it is also the position you put your body in. And I'm talking about kneeling. I'm talking about bowing your head. I'm talking about if you have to lay out on the floor. I'm talking about if you have to go sit in a corner and just hide yourself in the corner and go, God, I need your help. You've got to bring the preaching of the cross alive to me. That's humility. And the same humility can be shoulders back, head up, and you can say, no, this circumstance is not going to crush me because the cross and the preaching thereof has set me free. That can be humility. I told you, it's number one thing, though. The second way grace comes, and we've already read it, Romans 5:21, grace through righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus. It always comes back to in Him you're in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Wisdom comes to you through the preaching of the cross. Righteousness is then revealed to you. And then sanctification begins to happen. That's called change. Well, you received the wisdom. You began to act on the righteousness. But I don't love her no more. Wisdom says, love her as Christ loved the church. It's a commandment. Then go get her some flowers and take it there dead as a doorknob and act on righteousness. Change will come. Change will come. Or I just can't go to that job again. Wisdom says if you don't work, you don't eat. And if you can't take care of your own household, you're worse than an infidel. Act on righteousness and go to work and change will come. Right. Change will come. Then that last little thing in there says, and redemption. That means you're living in it. Woo! Go to work every day and be free. That's not without praying first in the morning. Thank you, Jesus. Grace comes through righteousness. Let's see. I want to show you how this works. Some people say, oh no, God's grace is unmerited. You can't get it. Well, take off your fluffy robes and your funny hats and whatever. Set it aside and listen to the preaching of the cross for just a second, can you? The Bible said, grace through righteousness. But I thought you said all my righteous deeds and all my goody-goody ain't going to work. It's not. But I did tell you how grace comes through righteousness. You find out what wisdom said, what the Bible says, act on it. That's doing righteousness. Yep. And when you're doing righteousness by one man's righteous act, grace came. That would include you. By your act of righteousness, grace comes. What do they do with people that act unrighteously and treat people wrongly? Do they enable them more or do they lock them up? Let's hope they lock them up. Same thing. Same thing. If you act unrighteously, grace is not coming to enable you. True. You're going to start getting power from somewhere else. And you don't want none of that. James chapter 2. You will see how doing right makes it all come together. Grace and change comes. You see, first came righteousness. That's the act God did. He acted on righteousness, which was God so loved the world. The most righteous act came out of God so loved the world. He acted on His love. It was righteous. And when He did that, grace comes streaming through in the person of Jesus Christ. And He went to the cross and died and rose again. Set at the right hand of the Father. And now He says, get after it. Do what I did and the same will happen to you. Oh, we all have different thrones all in our life that we need to sit on. It's called growing up spiritually. Growing up in Him. There's areas we need to grow up. You need to start acting on righteousness. James chapter 2. You believe that there is one God. You hear me? Religious man, non-religious man, you believe that. Even the atheist cries, have mercy on me, when death pangs grip their heart. The agnostic cries, why didn't I find out? God cries, why didn't you tell him? Anyway, let's go on to a happier moment. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. See, that's believing in the wisdom of God. That's saying, yes, I believe it. Yes. Well, the demons do that. You can wave this thing around all day and say you believe it. And they go, yeah, I believe that too, dude. I'm telling you, if you knew what to do with it, it'd tear us up. Right. Look what he says. You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Oh, wait. What are you talking here? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? When he offered Isaac his son, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made righteous? Do you see Abraham acted righteously and grace came in and made him and his woman fertile again? Do you see that? It's not a question between Paul and James about, you know, it's not by works, Paul said. James said, it's by works. No, James was just clarifying how the grace or the faith worked in him when he acted on righteousness. When he said, well, okay, I'm going to do it now. His wife was a little slow. She said, take my handmaiden. Abraham, slower than his wife, said, okay, I'm going to do it. Created this mess we're in. But do you see? You want change. The preaching of the cross brings change. Humble yourself and act on righteousness. How do I receive this? Let's go back to Romans chapter 10. And I'm going to tell you this again. Don't think, oh, well, he's going to give salvation scriptures. Yes, amen. But dear believer, dear non-believer, these are your scriptures that will save your life. You can act on these whether you've been saved 100 years or just 1 minute. Are not saved at all. You act on these, what they promise will come. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this wise. Romans 10:6. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What is the word of faith which we preach? Christ crucified. The preaching of the cross. That thing which seems to be foolish and weak. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me say it this way, Christian. With the heart one believes the wisdom God gives them. And when you act on the wisdom, which is righteousness, same with you that don't believe. He said, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. But what if I believe and nothing happens? Then God is your portion and your strength. Carry on. Lift your head up and say, the Lord is good. The secret things belong to Him. What you can change, change. What you can't, thank God and praise the Lord. I know that's tough, because we all want our little faith gospel to change everything and make it all pretty and rosy. So I'm finishing right here. For there is no distance between Jew and Greek. We're back to that religious and non-religious. There's no distance. Why? Because he's tore down the middle partition. Jesus Christ, the preaching of the cross, has eliminated all distance. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon his name. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whether you are a believer or a non-believer, right there is rejoicing ground. Because if you call on Him, you'll be saved. Praise the living God. Let's just sit. Close your Bibles. You probably can get a recording of this message if you so desire. Oft times in the preaching, as it's known by all people who speak, that you can speak a lot faster, more words than you could ever write down or even hear. But the curious thing about that is the faster you can speak, the more they'll understand. You ever notice a TV commercial is louder and faster? Because your mind... Mind. Hallelujah. We're not going anywhere right now for just a second. I just want you to put your stuff down and don't get busy. And just take a moment and think about what was said to you concerning the preaching of the cross. I really have a desire to lay hands on people today. I want to do that. We have a couple other things we got to do, but for right now, let's just take a moment and think about how the wisdom and power of God comes to us. And let us be thankful that He's concerned about us. that He made a way for us. And we just finished reading it. Whoever calls on His name will be saved. You can call on His name right where you're sitting. Salvation can come to your heart. If you are hearing me in this auditorium right now, and you've never received Jesus Christ, the preaching of the cross, and you want to, you just say right now to yourself, Jesus, I believe You're the Lord of all, and that You died for me and rose again. And I come and humble myself and ask You to come take charge of my life. I receive Jesus now. You just do that right there. You have received the preaching of the cross. You have received power to change. You have received wisdom that cannot be taught in any university. You have received a new life from Jesus Christ. And if you made that prayer, can I have a man and a woman personal worker stand up? Please, quickly. If you have made that prayer, here's a woman and here's a man, altar worker. If you're a man and you made that prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord, then come see Chuck. He has some information for you. He'll linger a little bit for you. Don't be afraid. See, he's not biting me or nothing. And if you're a lady and you made that same prayer, you can come see Paula. She has information for you. And she has a personal one-on-one touch, as Chuck does, to minister to you further concerning receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. I know this might be a little different than what you're used to, but that's okay. We'll just go this way. I wish I could say the Lord's telling me, but I can't. Honesty is always the best, you know. So, go ahead, Chuck. You can sit down. You remember where they are? And if you say to yourself, well, actually, we're going to take communion. So this next thing I want you to deal with in your communion. Some of you may not know what that is. Can't take for granted that everybody sitting in here knows what communion is, the Lord's Supper or whatever you want to call it. But in the taking of this, after I talk about it for a minute, then you need to confess your sins where you did not act on righteousness that you knew. To know to do righteousness and not do it is sin. That's just the Bible. That means from time to time, I hate to admit it, sometimes hour to hour, I have to say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. I shouldn't have spoke like that. I shouldn't have said those things in secret to somebody else about someone else. But we're going to take communion, and that will deal with that. So let's transition to communion and go to Luke chapter 22. Hey, Luke 11. All right. Sure. You can come, ladies, gentlemen, that serve communion. Please come and go ahead and get them things. Man. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. While that communion is being passed, I'm sure there's a protocol to do it. Just get the stuff and be ready. While that's being passed, just be praising the Lord and thanking Him. He's such a mighty God, so good to us. I know at times it seems like He's on the planet Saturn. Where are You when I need You here on earth, Lord? But don't be mistaken. Don't be misled by your feelings or by the voices that come to you. God is present with you right now, no matter where you're at, what you're doing, no matter what mountaintop you're on or what valley you may have fallen into. Fall. I like that. Let's butcher the King's English. Just be praising the Lord and thanking Him. I want to give us add a little different, I guess, for lack of a word, twist to your thoughts about when we take communion. We understand that this is a time for self-examination, a time to seek and look into our own hearts, whether we have, as the prodigal son said, sinned against God or against another, which was his father in the scripture there. It's a time to look and see where possibly we didn't give 100%, where we knew we should have. Sometimes all that's required is 80. Praise God, give the 80. But if it's required 100 and you didn't do it, or required 40 and you didn't do it, then to know to do right, sin. We don't hear that word much, you know. And I watch TV and the preachers, you don't hear much about that. But sin is a real issue. It's missing it. It's stepping out of sight of what God wants. Stepping out of sight what you know God wants. So you know these elements will come in where you've wronged your brother or your sister, and you can get forgiveness. But I want to tell you for sure, if you're going to partake of these elements today and you know that you've spoken unwisely, harshly, or done some things to brother and sister, not only do you take these things, and God on faith will forgive you here and now, but He's expecting you to act on righteousness so that ability will come and you can change and stop talking like that about them or acting like that toward them. But I hate them with all my heart. Well, I hate people too with all my heart. But fortunately, He can remove the stony heart, put in a fleshly heart, and write on there grace and righteousness. Oh, I need that, huh? I guess so. But don't you understand, brother? I'm the one preaching today. What do I need this for? So you got them. Hang on to them in your sweaty little hand. You ever notice they get real sweaty while you're trying to hold this little thing? Just hang on to them. Let me read something now. Now, we understand communion. Enough that in the night that He was betrayed, He took the bread and blessed it and said, "This is my body, eat, which is broken for you." In the same manner, He took the cup and blessed it and said, "This is my blood. Drink it. Do this in remembrance of me," right? And I just talked about how that pertains to sin. You know, this is doing righteous. This grace will come through this. Grace will come through this. That's God's ability to change. Hallelujah. But let me read this in Luke chapter 22, verse 14. When the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. And I want to just interject. In Matthew it says, He sat down with the apostles with them and was eating. I like to say that this is not just about first Sunday of the month or second, wherever you celebrate it, how you celebrate it. I'm talking about it's everyday life. It can be taken in the matter I'm going to share with you. It can be taken anywhere at any time. If you're in a hospital and all you got is a gumball and a 7-Up, you can sanctify it and take it. If you're in some foreign land or some field where all you got is some combat ration cracker, some instant coffee that comes with it, at least that's what I got when I went, or the coconut bar, whichever, you know, sanctify it and you can use it. Then He said to them, with fervent desire. With fervent desire. I have desire twice. Whoa. With fervent desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus was about to face, He was going to face one of the toughest trials in His life. One of the most life-changing things that any person has ever went through. He was going to face it. He was going to face some hard times, face some troubles. And He said, I have desired this with a fervent desire. And I am not, after this, going to want it until the kingdom is complete. He ushered in the age of grace, the New Testament grace, by these two things. And in doing so, in these two things, His blood and His body, He says, when you partake of it, you are able to face anything. You hearing me today? Anything. A life-changing thing. Whether it's good or bad. A hard thing or easy thing. Whatever it is. With this blood and this body, you can face it. Like I said, you could be in a hospital and you can face whatever's happening there. I've taken communion with things other than these two items, let me tell you. You can say, Lord, I'm weak in the presence of that sin. He said, I fervently desired. What? I fervently desired. Why? He went to the garden shortly after this and he bowed down in fear and trembling. It said in Hebrews, with fear and trembling, he learned obedience. He said, I have to have it to make it even through the garden and to the cross. The blood and the body. Do you know this speaks of the preaching of the cross right here? So, not only if you just got sin, you all know what that is. I could number them, just give you a list from my life and make you go, but you know what that is. Deal with it today with these things. But maybe the other thing you did not know is that you mean I could face this situation with these things? You mean I could take a moment out, even at work, and just take my lunchbox and my little Pepsi and my little crumb of bread from my sandwich and say, Lord, I need strength. I don't know if I can go another 4 hours of this overtime. I've been doing it every day for 6 weeks now. It's really hurting me. Jesus was in the garden and said, God, not my will but yours. How did he do it? He took strength. What's going to happen when we get to heaven when it's all said and done? He's going to lift up the cup and the bread once again at the table where we're all around and say, welcome, this is the last time I will consecrate the new age. So today, while we take these things, just no way to put it. Think about your sin. Not about what your sister did, your brother, your spouse, your kids, whatever, your sin, ask forgiveness. If it's against somebody, and oh, dad, mom, don't be too proud not to go to your child and say, I sinned against you and I took communion. Forgive me. Those are God's precious, you know. Anyway, get your sin forgiven. And then say, hey, right now, pick something. Pick something you're facing. Pick something you're facing that you need to overcome, that you need a breakthrough in, that you need a response from heaven, if you will, in. Pick that thing. And when we partake of these, like Jesus, say, I'm not going to have it again until I have marched into victory. And when that victory comes from the thing you're facing right now, because you're taking these things, when it comes, go ahead and get your whatever it is, a cup and some whatever it is. If it happens to be next month, first Sunday, then just rejoice that you've entered the kingdom. Are you catching me? Are you getting me here? I hope I'm not messing this up the way the Lord showed me. I can get forgiven, but I also can take this and be on my way to victory. And then when victory is complete, I take it in celebration. It's Him, the start and the finish, the Alpha and Omega. Let's bow our heads for a second and pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Help me. Help me. Now, whenever you're ready, go ahead and take your bread and drink your cup. When you know that you know, you've gotten your forgiveness and you got whatever you need to make it and that thing you've thought of. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. thank you so much. Thank you for your body. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. All hail King Jesus. Thank God for His blood. Oh, praise the Lord, mighty God. If you would please pass those things to the end of the aisle. Everybody, I think I'd like to... Oh, yeah, not the glasses, don't go in there, huh?
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, we can... Help me, John. Help me, buddy. Move this. I don't want to, you know, show any power because it might make others feel less. Or I might show the power and nobody will have ibuprofen for me. Oh, no, wait a minute. Prayer. That's right. Praise the Lord. Well, what I want to do is I want to pray for healing specifically. And I'll tell you this story because I just take my head and go, man, Lord, you got to tell me something over and over again. And I finally get it on the 9,000th time. And then I mess it up and have to go get it one more time so I can make it right on 9,001. But I was whining and boo-hooing about poor old me and about preaching and teaching and, you know, doing the things that's burning in my heart, blah, blah, blah. I guess none of it really mattered. And boy, God came through that little dense, foggy cloud called my own pity party and said, didn't I anoint you to teach? It needed no answer. Remember, the lawyer said rhetorical. You know, yes. Didn't I anoint you to heal the sick? Yes. Then stop it. So, I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, you anointed me to teach. Hopefully I did justice to that anointing. But He also anointed me to lay hands on people for healing. So if you want to stand up, we will make an altar call for healing. And if you prayed any prayers that you want further clarification on concerning even the communion or even receiving Christ, remember we have Paula and we have Chuck. Just come find them. Come find them. And if you prayed a prayer of salvation to receive Christ for the first time and you want to come see me, come see me. I could release them for their kids. If you just wait. When I ask people to come for prayer for healing, then if you need to go get your children, then go out so the commotion is all at once. Okay? Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. So if you need healing in your body, healing in your mind, whether it is the top of your head to the soles of your feet, whatever it is, or you would like someone to agree with you concerning a loved one or someone you're concerned with, then I'd like you to come right now from where you are and come right up front here and we'll pray for you that the healing power of God will begin working in you to effect a cure and a remedy for whatever you need. So if that's you, come on. I think I want you to come on. Yes. Come on. Now, if you need that, come. Now, if you want to go get your kids, this is the time to slip out and go get that. Yes, my beautiful helper here.
Thank you.
You're going to pray with me.
Praise God.
I didn't know if that was just me thinking when I looked over there first thing this morning and saw that, but now when I look back, it was not me. So she's as anointed as they get right here, this precious woman. She lays hands on you. God's healing power is going to go in you, and it's going to begin the work to cure you and bring a remedy to you. So if you need to get your children, get them. Lord bless you. Thank you for coming. So are we ready? We could pray together. It's a short line. We don't have to split up. Just head down there. Anytime this line is going and you want to get up here for prayer, hurry up, because once it's gone for today. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead. I want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
From the top of your head, yes, to the sole of his feet, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, brings healing and life. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I pray life right now to this body.
Yes.
Oh, Satan, I bind you in your age.
Yes.
Because trying to come against him, you cannot live.
Yes.
Oh, you
thank
die.
You, Lord.
You gotta bow in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.